Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. On June 11th, acclaimed and well-loved alt-rock band The National are playing a concert in Joe's Field at Mass Mocha in North Adams, Massachusetts that will benefit the museum and the Hawthorne Valley Association in New York's Hudson Valley. This concert is the band's only date in the Northeast this year. Today. You were far away. And I didn't ask you why. What could I say? I was far away. Walked away. And I just watched you. What could I say?
The Ohio-raised, Brooklyn-based band, which consists of vocalist Matt Berninger, plus two pairs of brothers, Aaron and Bryce Dessner, and Scott and Brian Devendorf, have landed on every Best Of list in print. The Dessners recently created, curated, and produced Day of the Dead, a compilation featuring 59 Grateful Dead covers, performed by a slew of incredible musicians, including, but not limited to, Flaming Lips, Bruce Hornsby, Ira Kaplan of Viola Tango, Jenny Lewis, Perfume Genius, Vijay Iyer, Lucius, and Bela Fleck. Bob Weir even appears on the album, performing both with Wilco and with The National.
Well, I know you're right, gonna miss me when I'm gone. I know you're right, gonna miss me when I'm gone. Gonna miss you. But I could not take my rest. Laid down last night, but I could not take my rest. My mind was wandering like the wild geese.
Aaron Dessner, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's talk about the concert at Mass Mocha first. It is a benefit for the museum and for the Hawthorne Valley Association. What made you guys want to play a benefit for the Hawthorne Valley Association?
We moved up to Stuyvesant, actually, about a little more than 2 years ago, mainly to put our daughter, Ingrid, who's now five, into the Hawthorne Valley Waldorf School, which is this amazing school which is integrated with a large biodynamic organic farm, the Hawthorne Valley Farm. And the association, just, it's a wonderful community that is integrating agriculture and education and the arts in a way that I think is interesting and important and just a sustainable model for communities and the kind of support they support. A lot of people have great jobs there. There's a wonderful school. And so we just wanted to give back. And the band was very supportive of what they're trying to do. And just the idea that our health and our children's health kind of starts with the food that they eat. And Hawthorne Valley is really a model for providing organic, fresh food to the community. And so that's basically the idea. And then Massmocha is just one of my favorite museums in the whole entire world, and I happen to live 45 minutes away from it. So they have this amazing area where you can have an outdoor concert for 6,000 or 7,000 people. So we just thought, why not? Let's do a big thing. So that's what's happening.
It's going to be so great. Joe's Field is such a cool spot. So another thing that's happening on the weekend of the concert is the documentary film A Lot of Sorrow is going to be screening in the Hunter Center. Can you tell us a little bit about that film?
Well, yes, A Lot of Sorrow is a collaboration with the Icelandic visual artist Ragnar Kjartansson, who is kind of one of our favorite artists. He mainly does performance art and sort of video installations, and so his concept when he approached us was he wanted, you know, he kind of wrote us a letter, and we normally don't do things like this, but he wrote us a letter saying, like, I want you to play Sorrow, this our song Sorrow, mm-hmm. For 12 hours without stopping, and I'm going to make a film of it. And we sort of thought, well, I don't think we can play for 12 hours, but we might be able to do it for 6 hours, and because there's that Brian, at least the drummer in our band, and myself, we both have to play 16th notes the whole time, so it's sort of fast, and we didn't know if our muscles would sustain. So we did it at PS1 down in the city, MoMA PS1, about 2 or 3 years ago, and it was, I think for all of us, it was one of our favorite days in the history of the band, just to play one song without stopping for 6 hours, and it kind of took on this almost mantra like spiritual quality, and it was funny, and it was sad, and then it was, you know, and we thought people would just kind of, there were 1,000 people there, and we thought it would be more like a gallery where they would cycle through, and instead people stayed for the entire time, most people, so for 6 hours they just stood there singing the same song with us. And Ragnar is kind of brilliant. He knew, I think, that song would take on these special qualities, so that A Lot of Sorrow is a film of us doing that. So it's a 6-hour film of us playing the song 108 times. So.
And did your muscles hold up? Were you sore the next day from playing for that long?
My hands were bleeding at the end,
God.
And my back collapsed 2 days later. So from the weight of the guitar, and everyone had various problems, but it was interesting. Actually, Bjork was there watching. And after, I remember talking to her afterwards, and she was looking at my hand. It was just a weird day. It was a weird, special day.
You have recently released Day of the Dead, which is you and your brother curated an album, a few albums, of Grateful Dead songs played by various artists. What is your relationship with the music of the Grateful Dead? What made you want to put out this album?
The Grateful Dead, I think, the Grateful Dead were the first band that my brother and I really investigated and were affected by as little kids, because we grew up in Ohio, in what is near Cincinnati, Ohio, in one of the many Dead Belts, they call them, like just areas that are hot spots of Grateful Dead. You know, there were venues near us, and all the older kids were into it, and my dad was into it, and then I think we kind of got serious about music at a very young age. And the Dead were real players, and they were really, you know, it's not just Jerry Garcia, like the way they all played with so much heart, and this kind of like ceaselessly experimental side of the Dead was fascinating. And they weren't just about blues, or, you know, like the Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin, you kind of hear the blues, and that's like, you know, where it came from. And whereas the Dead, it was jazz, and it was classical music, and it was folk, and it was the blues also, and it was all these things kind of melded into this really interesting, slippery thing, and it just sort of stayed with us, because very soon we got into alternative music and other, you know, kinds of music, but the Dead were just something that has been a lifelong joy, and, you know, I've never really gone away from it. And so when we started to, you know, the National became what it is, and we did Dark Was the Night, which is a big 32-track AIDS and HIV charity record that we did in 2009, also for Red Hot, and that raised a few million dollars for charities, and it was just a really special experience for everyone to be able to contribute in a direct way to the well-being of others. Everyone in our community of artists just had a really, it was a very positive thing. So we thought about doing another one, and I remember thinking, God, if the Grateful Dead would give us a clearance, this would be the most, you know, fun and powerful charitable vehicle. And so we, at some point, Bob Weir approached the National to do a big concert with him for Get Out, his Headcount organization that encourages voter registration. And so we did that with him, and we played 21 Grateful Dead songs and 2 National songs. And it was just, you know, we went in and played in the sort of style of Europe 72. And I think he really responded to, he just, you know, something clicked, and he went and got his old Gibson 335. And like, we just completely hit it off with him and with a lot of people that are still there in the organization. And so then that kind of just created this momentum, and we just started making this crazy record. And so it's 59 tracks, it's 6 hours long, and that's kind of, you know, it's not meant to be listened to in one sitting, because it's kind of impossible. It's more like a radio station or something that you just listen to. And it's also for people to discover the Dead, and then they should go listen to the real thing. So it's kind of a way in for some people, and it's a way to celebrate the songwriting and the experimentation. And and I think it can raise a lot of money for people that need it.
Dark Was the Night, I just wanted to tell you, I have that on vinyl. That is a amazing compilation. It's one of my favorite albums, one of my favorite things to put on. It's so, so good.
Oh, wow.
And,
thank you so much.
Sure. And how did you decide for that one and for this one to work with Red Heart Organization, that would be the avenue for the charity, for the fundraising?
Well, my first job out of college, when I was 22, I went to work for a design company in New York City called Funny Garbage. And the founder, it was kind of this wacky graphic design company that was sort of trying to humanize the internet by kind of blurring the borders of it. And it was an interesting company. And the guy who started it, his name's John Carlin, he had also started a charity called Red Hot in the early 90s, as many artists in the downtown on the Lower East Side were being affected by the AIDS crisis. And so the first record was Red Hot and Blue. And so I was John's sort of assistant at that time. And I never really thought, oh, I'll be a successful musician and I'll be able to make records for Red Hot. But many years later, when we sort of started to grow as a band, we just sort of said, why don't we make a record, you know, focused on our community. And of course, I really believe in the cause. And especially in sort of like trying to provide healthcare for people that can't afford it, you know, and in particular, this is focused on the AIDS epidemic, but it's also all like related health issues and things. So that was kind of, and I think it's, you know, there's many great charitable causes, and this is just one that I've happened to have, you know, a great relationship with this charity. And so we've just sort of focused on it.
Is the Josh Kaufman who co-produces with you the same Josh Kaufman who sometimes goes on the road with Josh Ritter?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know him personally. I love him.
Oh. So I will tell him you said that, because he's one of my favorite people. Josh Kaufman is like a real, a lovely person and one of the best musicians I know. Actually, it's his guitar. He lent me his 1972 Telecaster that I in 2005 that I wrote and recorded Alligator with. So I owe Josh Kaufman a lot.
So from a I don't produce albums perspective, what does it mean to co-produce this the Day of the Dead record? What does that mean that you and Josh did or didn't do together to co-produce the record?
Well, in Josh's case, it's been a long 4 or 5 year process. Mm-hmm. And so my brother and I kind of like created this concept and did all of the like networking and all of the artists reach out that needed to happen. And obviously a lot of the playing and actual work on the music, but Josh kind of very specifically came into the group sessions. So there's 59 tracks, and I would say about a little over half of them were done with a band, which included the National plus Josh and a few other people. And Josh and I sort of produced those sessions together. So that's like he essentially co-produced about half the record, and the other half he wasn't involved in.
I wanted to ask you one more thing before I let you go, and that is the National, you guys were on the Mindy Project. That looked like fun. My question, which is not very in-depth, was it fun?
I mean, our Matt Berninger, our singer, has like a kind of, you know, he loves film and television, and he's sort of like a you know, he finds these things very entertaining, and he's kind of a, he's a funny, for such a gloomy, like, kind of dark songwriter, he's like a pretty funny person, mm-hmm. and when you're just like hanging out with him, so he kind of just enjoys comedy, and the Mindy Project is like, was just this funny random show, and they invited us to be on it, and we're on, and the rest of us are kind of like, what, like, what are we gonna do, you know? So mm-hmm. I don't know, like, I always just wake up in some city in a hotel room, I'm like, you gotta go play the song on the Mindy Project, I'm like, okay, you know. So but yeah, it was fun when we did it.
Thank you for putting all of my favorite bands on an album together, doing wonderful Grateful Dead covers.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, of course, thank you for your time today, and can't wait to see the show at Mass Mocha.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Aaron Dessner of The National. The band is playing in Joe's Field at Mass Mocha on June 11th in a benefit for the museum and for the Hawthorne Valley Association. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.